the tape clicked off before. You said he used to visit at the hospital, you said?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this, his friends or
no, anybody.
Anybody.
He was
like a friendly visitor.
Contrary to what the history has been here before, my dad was one of the founders of Mother Pure Hospital, the Jewish hospital.
The one on the hill.
The one out on Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. Because at that time he was in the treasurer's office.
In the city treasurer's office?
City, he was already in the city treasurer's office. And he was, of course, very friendly with the mayor, W.A. McGee.
W.A. McGee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who was the mayor who appointed him as city treasurer. And when he tells, my dad told us that when he came here, he met people. Of course, he joined the shul. In those days, that was the...
What was the name of the congregation?
It was Austrian-Hungarian. If you weren't an Austrian or Hungarian, you couldn't belong to that. Mm-hmm.
Did they have another name or just the Austrian-Hungarian?
No, Austria-Hungarian, yeah. That was the name.
And that was on the hill?
That was right over here where the city public safety building is.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Where the old dispatch building used to be, I think it was. Right at the corner of the boulevard. Second Avenue, up on the second floor. That's where the shul was. He was not a founder of the shul. Shul was here when he came.
Mm-hmm.
See? But he became that very active. In fact, he was always considered a boss of the shul, kind of his affiliation.
Sounds to me like he was considered to be the boss of a lot of things.
Well, he was.
Yeah.
And he was one of the founders of the hospital, but the Davis family and the German Jews, for some reason, weren't very, very close to the Hungarian and Austrian Jews.
What role did he play in the founding of the hospital? Did he ever tell you about that?
Yes, he was a key man. He was, of course, on the board. A gentleman by the name of Dave Wilbert. Gentile man who was later also appointed to Baron McGee's cabinet and was a member of the Senate, State Senate, mm-hmm. was chairman of the Appropriations Committee. And he says to Adolf Edwards, he says, when you get going with your hospital, he says, don't worry about money. We'll get you all the money you're going to need.
So your father was able to get allocations from the state of Pennsylvania for the newly formed Montefiore Hospital.
Yes. But they won't tell you that. They don't want to tell you. No credit should come to any Jew but the German Jew.
But his name is listed on the board of the original hospital.
Yes.
Well, he played a really very important role then with that.
He sure did.
How did he happen to know Mayor McGee?
How he met Mayor McGee, I really don't know too much about that, except from what was hearsay from what he told us. In those days, a gentleman by the name of, there was a company, construction company, Booth & Flint. Senator Flynn, State Senator Flynn, was the boss, political boss around here. And after my dad had been here for a year or two, Dad says that he went personally to call on Senator Flynn, introduced himself. He had a lot of learning, but he did. He introduced himself. Senator said, "Well, what do you want from me?" He said, "There's a greenie."
Yeah.
He was only here a few years. And he says, "Well," he says, "you know, and I can see why. Austria-Hungary was one of the most liberal countries in the world as far as the Jews was concerned." This dad's story by history. you'll see it by his life there when he was living there. And so much so, just as this year his family was appointed a position to an office by the emperor, and Dad used to tell us that if they had any ceremonies from the monarchy, there was a relationship between Emperor Franz Joseph and Kaiser Wilhelm's family. There was a connection there. This is all before World War I. And it was a very liberal country. When any of the higher echelon of the Kaiser Rome's family or any other of the monarchies of Europe at that time would come to Austria-Hungary, of course Vienna was the capital, they would have a welcoming celebration. Dad pointed this out so often to us, that whenever they would come to visit, if there was 100 people appointed to be on the welcoming committee when they came by railroad, no airplanes in those days. If they, 100 people were on the welcoming committee, out of those 100 people, 75 approximately would be Jews, and 25 would be Goyim. So liberal were they towards the Jewish people. Very, very liberal. And Dad never forgot that. So when he come here, and after he met people through the shul and other sources, he went to Senator Flynn and he says, look, he says, the country that I come from, and he'd tell him a story just like I told you. He says, well, what has that got to do with Pittsburgh? Oh, he says, you don't recognize the Jews here at all. He says, my people. He says, I'm a Jew. Dad never forgot that. He never would go. He was asked to join Temple many a time.
Into the temple, he would.
And so he said to Senator Flynn, and Senator Flynn says, what do you expect of me? Why do you come to me? Well, he says, you don't recognize the Jews here at all. He says, we got public schools, you don't have a teacher in the public school that's a Jewish or a Jew, because you had a man. Truant officers, you don't have one. He says, anything that's public, he says, no Jew. He says, how can you run a place? He says, what do you got against the Jew? Oh, nothing. He says, well, Mr. Ellis, he says, I'll tell you. He says, do your Jews vote? Dan says, well, he don't know too much about vote there. He says, he can tell you something about Europe, not here. He says, I don't think they do. He says, besides, he says, I don't think that they're even citizens of this country. He says, they haven't been naturalized. He says, has anybody done anything about that? He says, well, I don't know. He says, I'm not the boss here. You're the boss. Why didn't you go out and try to do it? He says, that's not for me. He says, well, I'll tell you what you do. He says, I heard your story. I see what you want. He says, you go get them to go and get naturalized and become citizens. That was, I think, his first beginning problem.
Really? Do you have any idea when this was? Was this before you were born, do you think? Or?
No, because I was born in 1898. Mm-hmm. No, I was a little punk in those days.
Yeah.
Then they organized the Allegheny County Republican Club.
Your dad helped organize that,
That was the first political, first Jewish political organization in Pittsburgh.
And his goal was to encourage them to become citizens and to vote.
Yeah. I got a naturalization paper there. My dad's shows some names on there. This fellow, what was his name? I got a copy of it through a doctor down in the Gateway Tires. Levinson, Max Levinson, old fish people. You wouldn't remember that family downtown.
Well, it's not
come originally from
And that name is on his naturalization paper?
Yes, naturalization. Uh-huh. Because Dad had to be naturalized. Mm-hmm. And then he did. He connected up with, he was no dummy, my dad wasn't. He connected up with a gentleman by the name of Cancellier.
Cancellier? Is that the man from the bank?
The bank. This boy's, let's see, Joe was his father. This boy's father's father is, would have been a great grandfather, right? Yes, great grandfather.
Of M.A. Cancellier, the man today.
Yeah. Is that, would he be? He was Joe's son. And Joe's father, that's correct, Joe's father had the first Italian-American newspaper in western Pennsylvania.
And he was a friend of your dad's?
They became friends. How there was a friendship there, because from the family, in fact, I'll show you, when Cousin Roosevelt ran for office, my dad was appointed western Pennsylvania chairman, independent. Republican, because he was always a Republican, but that time he decided to go for Roosevelt. He had reasons, people gave to him and so forth. But I got a picture of Cornelia Cancellier. That's this boy's sister. I call him a boy.
Yeah.
This boy's sister, I'll show you in my office. I got a picture of her pinning the carnation on my dad and Sally when they opened up the headquarters in the Burger Building for Roosevelt for president.
So even as a Republican, he supported Roosevelt?
Oh yes, as a independent Republican. And he also was so close to Mr. Cancellier, the old man, that they used to have in Turner Hall, do you ever hear? Place by Turner Hall was a public hall. The Sons of Italy used to have their headquarters there.
Yeah.
My dad Selig and my mother Selig used to lead the Grand March for their New Year's party dance.
Oh my goodness.
Every year through Mr. Cancellier's efforts. So my Cancellier and my dad teamed up together. My dad got a lot of free publicity, didn't have to pay for anything. And he was very, very friendly with the Cancellier family. He was successful in getting Pete Cancellier was the first Italian city assistant county solicitor. Dad was able to get a job. My dad could get most anybody after he became a pilot, became a city treasurer. Anybody he could get a job for.
Was city treasurer his first job in politics?
He was. They give you that there here too. Now this is a boy who wrote this here addition here, I want you to know. Not a Yiddish fellow, not a Pittsburgher. I don't know where he got all of his material, but he got his material. Let me see, on that particular question.
Well, you know, if it's in there, then we can find that. I think what you're remembering about him is, in many respects, you know, very important as well as what's written there. How did your mother feel about his being in politics?
She was a hostess at
the
was. Was a mostess.
She went right along with him.
Well, when they moved to, he saw to that, when they moved to Raleigh Avenue, that was right before he was appointed Senate Treasurer. We had a pretty large house up there, and I remember this very distinctly. It was about, well, it's been Mitchell. Maybe a little younger, but we had my dad's ritual was he made everything, he business liked everything just so.
Yeah.
He'd come home, first he'd go to the treasurer's office, put in the day, then go over to the store on Grand Street and spend an hour or so. Then he'd come home. He'd have his dinner. Every afternoon, my mother said he had a coffee clutch for the people who came there to visit, both Gentiles, Jews, colored, or whatever. She was...
Every afternoon,
she always had. Fortunately, my dad was able to nothing. He was not a millionaire by any means. He was comfortable with things. He always had two maids. Mother did nothing as far as the house, running the house, maids running the house. But they'd have a coffee clutch every afternoon, whoever wanted to come, they'd come. Dad'd come home about 6 o'clock or 6:30, had his dinner, take a little snooze on the dining room table. I can remember that very clearly.
On the dining
room? Just put his head down.
Yeah.
Like half an hour's...
Yeah.
Snooze,
yeah.
And he was ready for the evening. And anybody who wanted to come to see A.L. Fiddler's was always open to us.
So you grew up used to that?
Oh, sure. Anybody who came there, he had a double parlor there. Front parlor for people to sit in.
Yeah.
And the back part was like a little office. And you come to A.L. Fiddler's with your 10-hour clothes. Hucksters were out, they wouldn't take out a license, it cost them $2. He used to say, well, why didn't you come to me? I'd give you the $2, they arrested me. So he has to take care of him.
So everybody came to him and asked for help.
Well, whatever it was, he was a boss, a real political boss, but never took advantage of it, never took a nickel. He had been a multi-millionaire as far as that was concerned. But he was unusual, not because he was my dad, but that's it, was his history. He liked people. And also in his favor, he could, having even been the greenie to come to this country, he could get up and make, whenever he learned the language, he could make a speech. That everybody would listen to him, nobody else would say a word. They don't let this sway almost anybody.
That's amazing.
I wish that I had his characteristics. It's very unusual. People didn't know the value. He was elected in about 1903 or 1904 to city council. And he was only here 5 or 6 years. A green.
Was this before he was treasurer of the city?
Oh, yes. First
city
he
council.
Was,
yeah.
First he was, it's carried here.
Yeah.
That
was really unusual that he would even want to do that, wasn't it? Particularly because he was in business, too.
No, well, he liked the limelight. He didn't seek honors. Honors sought him.
Who took care of the business while he was?
The business, a brother-in-law of mine, while he was in the treasurer's office, my sister Ethel, she married a gentleman from New York City, Oak Hall Street, who was in the insurance business. And he was transferred. He was John Hancock Company, of course. And he came to Pittsburgh through a Gentile, through another member of the firm, a man by the name of Bill Fields, came here first before Bill Goldstein. And then he got in touch with Bill. He said, why don't you get a transfer and come to Pittsburgh? He said, I'll fix you up. He says, I got some friends here. See, so Bill Fields came here. He married, this here Bill Fields married an America's girl, Lucy America's. She lived at the corner of DeVillier Street. We sent her out there across from the police station. And they got married. This year Fields had Bill come to Pittsburgh, and he introduced her to my sister. See?
Oh.
And then my sister married Bill Goldstein.
And it was Bill Goldstein who helped, who watched over the business.
While my dad was in the treasurer's office. And
did people like the mayor or anybody like that ever come to your house?
It was, in fact, my dad was so close to the mayor, he used to tell the story. The mayor was a good Catholic.
This is still Mayor McGee.
But he never went to church. So Dad said, he says to him after he was elected mayor, he says, young man, he says, you're going to go to church.
Your dad told him that?
Yes. He says, a good Jew is telling you, you're going to church on Sunday. He says, you can't live like that. He was a bachelor. He never got married. So he took him down, bought him a nice frock coat, nice old cat. He was a bitch, you see. And he went to church every Sunday.
Is that the family that McGee Hospital is named
from? Yes, Billy McGee's uncle, Chris McGee, was the man who built it. He had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And W.A. McGee was a young lawyer, smart man, good man, honest man. And he wasn't wealthy, but he was in another lawyer's office. I forget the law office that McGee studied in. And then W.A. McGee was, it was friendly, naturally, he was a money man. He was very friendly with Chris McGee.
Was that
McGee
the Flynn that your father went to?
Yeah, Booth and Flynn.
And asked how to...
Yeah. They're the people who built the first tunnel under the Hudson River. Had some tunnel in New York.
Really? That was a Pittsburgh company?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they exist anymore. They had a home. The old Flynn, Senator Flynn, lived right up at the corner of Bunker Hill and Highland Avenue,
right
behind
at the entrance
where
of the park.
The entrance of the park. Flynn Estate used to run from Bunker Hill along Euclid Avenue to Callahill Street over to Highland Avenue, and Highland Avenue back up to the park. He owned that whole thing.
Oh, my.
When we moved down to the house on Euclid Avenue the first morning, my wife and my sister-in-law Mary, and they went down to the kitchen for breakfast, they saw cars out in the backyard. It's from Flynn's estate. It was on their estate.
Wait a minute.